All right. Okay, Brother Mark Boyd and Brother Durham are going to be working upstairs. We had one of the faucets in one of the ladies' lavatories, hot water froze and busted. And so they're turning the hot, they're working on that. They'll have it fixed in just a little while. Well, they'll have it turned off where we've got hot water everywhere except the ladies' restroom. So we won't have any hot water in the ladies' restroom today. So just wash your face off. Water messed up. All right. Well, I know there's several. I hope everyone got notified of Brother of the Fort Smith meeting getting canceled Saturday. They had water breaks and didn't have water. So, yes. Yeah, they called me. They're Matt and Reva's. Anthony's real sick, but Matt said if I leave her with Anthony to take care of him, there's nobody to take care of the girls. And if she comes and leaves me with it, it's going to be worse than that. I said, you better just both stay there and take care of them. Oh, maybe he'll feel better by this evening. All right. And then I had car trouble. Took me 15 or 20 minutes to get my vehicle running. Anyway, we're here. Okay, we finished the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. We might back up just a little bit, and I might say something about let's stay in a little part of it here where the 13th verse says, the same hour was there a great earthquake and the 10th part of the city fell. And I mentioned that that was the United States falling as a nation. And it says a 10th part of the city fell. And the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God, the God of heaven. if you look in the second verse of it says back in the second verse of chapter 11, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And if you look in the 8th verse, well, that's talking about the body of Christ, the holy city. The 8th verse says, in the dead bodies, and their dead bodies, talking about the two witnesses, shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. it looks to me here, there's two different cities here that's being spoke of. The holy city, which is the body of Christ, and then the great city, which is Babylon. He identifies it, says, you know, shows that there's... it's spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. And in if you look in the other parts of the book of Revelation where Babylon's referred to, it's always referred to as the great city. That great city. Chapter 18 makes that statement several times. where it's never referred to, I don't think, that the body of Christ is never referred to as that great city until chapter... I believe it's in chapter 20, 21 maybe. Let me look. He saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. Let's see if there's another place. Seems like there is a place. Let me look it up in my concordance right quick, see if I can find it quicker. I just wanted to say something about this because, and this is a part that I'm still considering. Yes, Revelation 21. I didn't go down far enough. 21:10 said, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem." That's the only time it's referred to in Revelation as a great city, but it's after Babylon has already been destroyed. So, in other words, it's great in man's eyes, Babylon is, but it's not great to God. But here, the bride of Christ, and during the 1,000 years will become great in all man's eyes. And so first Babylon's destroyed before that term's ever used for the body of Christ. Now back to the 11th chapter here. No, it's talking about the body of Christ all the time. Holy city. Yeah. But that great city is talking about Babylon in those verses. Generally, it identifies it. You know, it's identified in the context. It's identified. But just like in 21:10, it says that great city, the holy Jerusalem. He identifies it in the context of what he's talking about. But back in the 11th verse, we've got to figure out what city he's talking about here. The same hour there was a great earthquake, verse 13, and the 10th part of the city fell. This is a part of this scripture that I don't have any definite interpretation on. The way I'm looking at it right now is that the 10th part of the city, and in the 10th part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God in heaven. All right, this takes place if you look at verse 12, he said, "I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven," talking about the two witnesses. "They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." And that's a restored church, this cloud. Jesus comes back in a cloud of witnesses, and the body of Christ is elevated into a second heaven condition. I'll try to cover clouds before too long. I think it's important to see how clouds are dealt with in prophetical scripture. Okay, so here the bride of Christ is made up. I mean the order of God, and the church is restored, and there's a divine order, and then the same hour, this is the last prophetical hour, was there a great earthquake. Of course, America, it's going to shake the world when America's judged. But he's dealing now in the context of this from the eighth verse down. He's dealing with that city which is called Sodom in Egypt. And so I'm looking at it right now as the tenth part of the city that fell. If an earthquake, if there were 7,000 men slain of an earthquake, that wouldn't shake this world. What we've already had, how many people was killed in the tsunami? How many,
Well, what I've heard concerning that 7,000 times past is that it says 7,000 of men.
Which right.
7,000 leaders. Men of with a lot of clout. Before you get to a man with clout, you're going to go through how many hundreds of men.
Well, it's true, and that's what I'm leading up to, is these 7,000 men that are slain in this, but I think it's probably dealing with the dragon. You got to remember the dragon and the beast, or this city of which is called Sodom in Egypt, is joined together. It's a big city, and a tenth part. 10 is the number for judgment, and if the judgment seat of it, that's the part that I'm talking about. That when this beast system is devastated and they can't show peace to the people, then they're going to fall in the eyes of mankind. And so right now I'm just looking at this as being this the city that is in the context from the 8th verse down, dealing with that city which called Sodom and Egypt, that great city, which is Babylon. And that thing is going to topple. I think in the 16th chapter, the city's divided into three parts right before the destruction, which I think will be the Protestant movement, the Catholicism, Protestantism, and Pentecostalism. They're going to join together, but they're still going to be divided into those three parts. They're going to say, let us be eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, let us be called by thy name, but they're still going to maintain their own apparel. They're going to maintain their own coverings. So I just thought, I didn't mention anything about that last week, and I just thought I'd say something on it. But I think Brother McGowan's right, and that's the way I'm putting that, is that this great city, a tenth part of the city falls, and I think that's the judgment part of it. And the 7,000 men, I think if you see in the eyes of man that they don't have any confidence in this system that's going to develop in this world, and America falls, and America's going to cause there to be a image to the beast. Now, it's not going to topple, but a great part of it's going to topple. And of course, the seven kings are still going to honor, the ten kings are still going to honor it until, at least for 7.5 years, are part of that. The very end of the 30 years, in the very beginning of the last prophetical hour.
Okay. So America's going to go down. 10 kings are going to come in. But actual judgment on America is not taking place at that point. Am I right on that?
Well,
yeah,
America's going to be judged as a nation. It'll never rise back up again as a superpower. But God's not going to be finished with eternal judgment. Eternal judgment won't be set up until
the
right at this time, there's going to be a restored church and eternal judgment will begin. But this judgment on America is what's going to probably cause God's people to turn to God and begin to pray and seek God. A lot of them, like it shows in chapter 6, are going to run to the rocks and the mountains and want them to cover them and help them and protect them. They're still going to look to some system because they don't know what else to look to. And the first thing that's going to happen is I think Brother Leniger's right. I think that the Baptist people are going to rise up against this system. Right now, you can see what's going on with the governmental power in America that it almost makes you want to scream. You know, I mean, you can see that we are losing the morality, the Christian morality in America. And I can just tell you right now, the moral majority is not going to stand for this much longer. They're going to rise up against this, against what's going on. Because, you know, I don't know how many of you have been listening, but in this new health care plan that, I mean, they've passed, but now they're adjusting all the identifying regulations of it, and now they're saying that they're going to take the people's choice out of it completely. That's number one. Number two, they're saying that every person in America is going to be required to have health insurance, and if you don't have it, you will be fined. And you'll have to provide proof on your IRS tax form that you've got income, that you've got health care every year. And if you don't have it, you'll be fined. And they're going to make you have it. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think America's going to stand for that. I don't think America's going to stand for this government taking every right they've got away from them. I think they're going to stand up. But that's what's going to happen. The moral majority is going to rise up. But just like John the Baptist, he got his head cut off. You know, for I'll tell you when you're going to see the trouble happen is when the church world crawls into bed with civil power. When America gets enough, and they're going to see they're going to have it. When the moral majority rises up, they're going to see we've got to have a religious leader in this world to calm these religious people down. You know, I mean, if you just think of regular Christian's mind of thinking, you have to wonder why a Christian nation would allow immigrants to come into it, that it's a known fact that the reason they're coming into it is to destroy it and destroy every Christian on the face of the earth. But it's because the government's embracing that religion. The government, they're embracing that type of... they know they're going to gain, you know... power to try to bring peace to the world, they can no longer be dictated by religion unless it's a religion that will agree with them and compromise with them. So this is a really interesting time. If I was you, I wouldn't get fearful. As long as you stay God's child and stay in the body of Christ, don't get fearful. This is a great time to be living in because the church is going to be restored and the power of God's going to be manifested in this. But it's going to be interesting to watch this, to watch the power of God work right in the midst of a dragon situation, a dragon power, and the dragon will never be able to touch the Christ or his kingdom. They're not going, I mean, they may bring persecution against it, But they're not going to be able, it'll be just like in the next chapter we're fixing to go into. There's the dragon, Michael and his angels, and the dragon and his angels is fixing to have war in heaven again. It's fixing to take place. But the thing about it is, the dragon's going to get cast out of heaven again. Who let him back in? All right. All right, the 12th chapter. Brother Jerry, did you get all that? Okay. The 12th chapter. Now, the 12th chapter regresses and goes all the way back now to the day of Pentecost. The Lord just painting pictures for us. The 11th chapter showed the early church falling away and came all the way down to a restored church and down to the last prophetical hour. And now the 12th chapter goes back again to the early church and the day of Pentecost and begins to give more detail. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." This is a chapter I think most of you are pretty well have an understanding on, because it's been preached so much in the body of Christ. The thing about the book of Revelation, God gave us some, He gave Brother Souders and our forefathers some identifying marks in the book of Revelation and some truths there that opened up a greater understanding, but really we've just had a pig trail. In a way, we've just had certain scriptures. We got the horses in the 6th chapter. I've heard everything, and y'all have too, that you can imagine preached on the 7 churches of Asia. Rather not, they were all church ages or literal churches. Of course, I hold that you can apply them to church ages, but I hold that they're literal churches back there. The key is that in the first chapter, Jesus said, "I'm going to show you, John, what must shortly come to pass." He gives him those 7 letters to give to those 7 churches. And then in the 4th chapter, he says, "Now, come up hither, and I'm going to show you what's in the future, what must come to pass hereafter." And to me, those are vital keys that gives you some time frame of understanding the book of Revelation. Here, we've always taught the great wonder, this great wonder in heaven, the woman clothed in the sun and the moon under her feet, as the New Testament church that was clothed with the light of the sun, which is the New Testament. The foundation of that church was the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, or the moon, the lesser light, and then the greater light in the day of the Lord, and then the crown of 12 stars being the 12 apostles, the ruling element of that church. And that church was impregnated. It's amazing that the religious world teaches that this dragon here was... This happened way back in the beginning of before the world. It teaches that that's when the devil got kicked out of heaven. That's ironic when you really begin to understanding prophetical scripture, but there was no pregnant woman up there. We know that this is the church, and she was impregnated with the seed of the Word of God, the seed of Christ, and she was travailing in birth to bring forth the likeness of Christ, or a new creature, a new man. We're not There's different pictures in the Bible. We know we're born again when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we're not. Then there's the other allegories of being born of God is when this work finally finished in you. And you finally, what John say in 1 John 3, said, "He that's born of God sinneth not." Of course, I can make that this new man. He don't sin. This new Holy Ghost inner man in you is a sinless nature. It doesn't sin. But we are travailing, aren't we, until finally we come forth as a complete, perfect man. And she was in travail to bring forth overcomers. Here it's shown as a man child. I've heard people discuss that, the man child and the bride. You know, some people try to make it two different things. I don't know if you ever heard that, but I've heard that discussed. But it's just two different allegories. That one place, God's bringing forth a man child, a ruling element. But another allegory is it's a bride, it's a helpmate to Christ that he'll rule and with for the 1,000 years. But this was a wonder in heaven. Then in verse 3 said, "There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." And you've all, you know, heard, I'm sure, the 7 heads is the 7 world powers or dragon heads: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and America. Of course, there's the majority of the men teach Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and papal Rome. They don't put America in there. I don't think most of the men in the body believe that America's the dragon power. I never have heard one of them that believe that be able to explain the two-horned beast in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation in a way that made any sense to me. I'm sure there's explanation, but I don't know if I've ever heard it in a general meeting. Brother Leniger's teaching on it is the best I've heard, and to me, it's just as clear to see. So clear that I have a hard time with seeing the, you know, when you go back to Daniel's image of the Babylon, the head of gold, and then Medo-Persia was a two-powered kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, the arms, the shoulders and both arms. And then Greece was brass, and that was the torso. But then Rome was the legs of iron, starting with the hips. And there's two parts to that, pagan and papal part. Rome, the nation of Rome wasn't divided. It wasn't given over. It was still the nation of Rome. It just the rulership of it changed. The type of rulership in it was changed. But when you get down into the feet members, it's iron and clay, and that's. That's America. That's Protestantism and Catholicism. It's divided. You can't mix it together. You can't. It won't stick together. But it's going to, you know, when it becomes a world power, it's going to come together. But they'll never become one. That's something that's shown in Isaiah 4 that that they'll say, let us be called by your name, but we're not going to accept everything. We're not going to do everything. We're all going to have to wear our own apparel, eat our own bread, and so, you know, we're not going to actually merge into being really one. There's a dividing factor there. And of course, the 10 kings, the 10 toes will come in later. I don't have a problem seeing America is the seventh head. Then the 10 horns right here, these 10 horns are the 10 provinces of Rome. It's like they are in the 13th chapter, but in the 17th chapter, the 10 horns changes to being the 10 kings. We can go over that when we get to the 13th and 17th chapter. Anyway, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. I think Isaiah 9 says that the ancient and the honorable is the head, but the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. And here the tail of the dragon, this the false ministry, or the ministry that it caused, it drew a third part of the stars out of heaven. I'm still holding the third part as there being three parts. Somebody may give me something better on it. I'm still holding the third part, that there was a judgment seat back there. There's a judgment seat down here, and there'll be a judgment seat during the 1,000 years. That they only judged a third part of the eternal kingdom, or eternal judgment. Eternal judgment only takes place three times in three parts. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered and for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Of course, that dragon system back there in the early church, the dragon power of Rome and predominantly Judaism tried to stop that church and tried to devour what it was producing. It tried to stop that movement, in other words. But verse 5 says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and his throne. So they, even though they tried to stop it, the church went on right on producing overcomers. And there's a good place to show that they moved out a live soul. They were caught up to God and his throne.
Is that a good place to stop at too?
Yeah. Is it 10 minutes till? Yeah. Let's take the next verse and stop right there. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So there was persecution back there, and the woman had to flee from the persecution, and she was fleeing from the persecution of that system into the wilderness. So this is the church going into the wilderness, going in out of a divine order of God. The second heaven condition ceases, and the woman for 1260 years is going into a wilderness place, which is Catholicism, where Catholicism takes over. Anyway, we'll pick back up there next week. What part? Yeah. shall a nation bring forth in a day. Yes, that's the day of Pentecost. And it's just talking about the early church being produced in this birthing of the Spirit. Yeah, sure. All right, we'll take a break.